Thank you very much, Prabhu. Yeah. What we'll do is, for some time, we will take one chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and we can do the translation, and we can read the purport, and then we'll circle around among us.
Okay.
Yeah, super. So, chapter 3, let's do chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
Gitas are actually here. Okay. If you can pick and we'll take... So shall we start from the beginning, Mataji? Huh? So can, Prabhu, you can, yeah, you okay. can, that's okay, yeah. So what we will do is, we'll take chapter 3, mm-hmm. and then we will go read one shloka at a time.
Okay.
We'll read the
translation. Okay.
And then we'll read the purport, and okay. then we'll do the same thing.
So you begin, so we'll proceed, we will follow it then.
We are on page number 147. Arjuna said, O Janardhan, O Keshava, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare? If you think that intelligence is better than fruitive work, purport by His Divine Grace, Sri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has very elaborately described the constitution of the soul in the previous chapter with a view to delivering His intimate friend Arjuna from the ocean of material grief. And the path of realization has been recommended Bhutti Yoga or Krishna Consciousness. Sometimes Krishna Consciousness is misunderstood to be inertia, and one with such a misunderstanding often withdraws to a secluded place to become fully Krishna conscious by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. But without being trained in the philosophy of Krishna Consciousness, it is not advisable to chant the holy name of Krishna in a secluded place, where one may acquire only cheap adoration from the innocent public. Arjuna also thought of Krishna consciousness or Buddhi Yoga or intelligence in spiritual advancement of knowledge as something like retirement from active life and the practice of penance and austerity at a secluded place. In other words, he wanted to skillfully avoid the fighting by using Krishna consciousness as an excuse. But as a sincere student, he placed the matter before his master and questioned Krishna as to his best course of action. In answer, Lord Krishna elaborately explained Karma Yoga or work in Krishna consciousness in this third chapter. Prabhu, I was thinking we can even recite Sanskrit shloka and then...
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, you want to... from two or...?
Yeah.
Okay. Text two. Vyami Sreneva Vakyena... Buddhim mohaya sivame
Buddhim mohaya sivame
Tadekam vada nischitya
Tadekam vada nischitya
Ena sriyoham apruyam
Ena sriyoham
My intelligence is bewildered by your equivocal instructions. Therefore, please tell me decisively which will be most beneficial for me. Purport. In the previous chapter, as a prelude to the Bhagavad Gita, many different paths were explained, such as Sankhya Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, control of the senses by intelligence, work without fruitive desire, and the position of the neophyte. This was all presented unsystematically. A more organized outline of the path would be necessary for action and understanding. Arjun, therefore, wanted to clear up these apparently confusing matters so that any common man could accept them without misinterpretation. Although Krishna had no intention of confusing Arjuna by any jugglery of words, Arjuna could not follow the process of Krishna consciousness, either by inertia or by active service. In other words, by his questions He is clearing the path of Krishna consciousness for all students who seriously want to understand the mystery of the Bhagavad Gita.
Lokena smin vidya. Nishta pura. Lokena smin vidya nishta.
Lokesmin vidya nishta.
Pura yokta mayanada.
Pura prokta mayanada.
Gnana yogena sankhyanam.
Gnana yogena sankhyanam.
Karma yogena yoginam.
Karma yogena yoginam.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "O sinless Arjun, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical, philosophical speculation, and other by devotional service." Purport in the second chapter. The Lord explained two kind of approaches, namely Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. In this verse, the Lord explained the same more clearly. Sankhya Yoga, or the analytical study of the nature of spirit and material, is the subject matter for persons who are inclined to speculate and understand things by experimental knowledge and philosophy. The other class of men work in Krishna consciousness, as it is explained in the 61st slok verse of the second chapter. The Lord has explained also in the 39th verse that by working by the principle of Buddhi Yoga or Krishna consciousness, one can be relieved from the bond of action. And furthermore, there is no flaw in the process. The same principle is more clearly explained in the 61st verse that this Buddhi Yoga is no depend entirely on the Supreme, or more specifically, or Krishna. And in this way, all the sense can be brought under control very easily. Therefore, both the yoga are interdependent in as a religion and philosophy. Religion without a philosophy is an entitlement or sometimes a fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is a mental speculation. The ultimate goal is Krishna, because the philosophers who are also sincerely searching after the absolute truth come in the end to Krishna. Krishna consciousness is also stated in a Bhagavad Gita. The whole process is to understand the real position of the self in relation to the super self. The indirect process of philosophical speculation, by which gradually one may come to point of Krishna consciousness, and the other process of directly connecting everything with Krishna in Krishna consciousness. Of these two, the path of Krishna consciousness is the better, because it does not depend on purifying the senses by the philosophical process. Krishna consciousness is itself the purifying process, and by the direct method of devotional service, it is seamlessly easy and sublime.
Na karmanam na arambhyam. Naishkarmyam purusho asnute. Na cha sanyasanad eva. Siddhim samadhi gacchati. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The renounced order of life can be accepted when one has been purified by the discharge of the prescribed form of duties, which are laid down just to purify the hearts of materialistic men. Without purification, one cannot attain success by abruptly adopting the fourth order of life, sannyas. According to the empirical philosophers, simply by adopting sannyas or retiring from fruitive activities, one at once becomes as good as Narayan. But Lord Krishna does not approve this principle. Without purification of heart, sannyas is simply a disturbance to the social order. On the other hand, if someone takes to the transcendental service of the Lord, even without discharging his prescribed duties, whatever he may be able to advance in the cause is accepted by the Lord. Buddhi Yoga. Swa alpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a slight performance of such a principle enables one to overcome great difficulties.
Text 5. Nahi kaschat kasanam api.
Nahi kaschat kasanam api.
Jatu tisthati akarmakrat.
Jatu tisthati akarmakrat.
Karyateha. Hya avasa karma
yate
eva asya karma sarva prakriti jair guneha
sarva prakriti jair gunahe.
Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is not a question of embodied life, but it is the nature of the soul to be always active. Without the presence of the spirit soul, the material body cannot move. The body is only a dead vehicle to be worked by the spirit soul, which is always active and cannot stop even for a moment. As such, the spirit soul has to be engaged in the good work of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will be engaged in occupations dictated by the illusionary energy. In contact with material energy, the spirit soul acquires material modes. And to purify the soul from such affinities, it is necessary to engage in the prescribed duties enjoined in the Shastras. But if the soul is engaged in his natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he is able to do is good for him. The Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.17 affirms this. Tvakta swadharmam charana bhumjam hare bhajanan aparko tapate tato yadi yatra kava vadarpa abhut amusyakim ko vartha apto bhajatam swadharmataha. If someone takes to Krishna consciousness, even though he may not follow the prescribed duties in the Shastras or execute the devotional service properly, and even though he may fall down from the standard, there is no loss or evil for him. But if he carries out all the injunctions for purifications in the Shastras, what does it avail him if he is not Krishna consciousness? So the purificatory process is necessary for reaching this point of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, sannyas or any purificatory process is to help reach the ultimate goal of becoming Krishna consciousness, without which everything is considered a failure.
Text 6. Karmendriyani Sanyamya. Ya aste manasa smaran indriyarthan vimudatma nitya charaha sa uchyate. Translation. One who restrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are many pretenders who refuse to work in Krishna consciousness but make a show of meditation while actually dwelling within the mind upon sense enjoyment. Such pretenders may also speak on dry philosophy in order to bluff sophisticated followers. But according to this verse, these are the greatest cheaters. For sense enjoyment, one can act in any capacity of the social order. But if one follows the rules and regulations of this particular status, he can make gradual progress in purifying his existence. But he who makes a show of being a yogi while actually searching for the objects of sense gratification must be called the greatest cheater. Even though he sometimes speaks of philosophy, his knowledge has no value because the effects of such sinful man's knowledge are taken away by the illusory energy of the Lord. Such a pretender's mind is always impure, and therefore his show of yogic meditation has no value whatsoever. Next seven.
Yastva indriyani mansa.
Yastva indriyani mansa.
Niyamadarbate Arjuna.
Niyamadarbate Arjuna.
Karmendriya karma yoga.
Karmendriya karma
yogam. Akstaksa visheshyate.
Astakasa visheshyate.
On the other hand, it is a sincere person and tries to control the active sense by the mind and begin karma yoga in Krishna consciousness. Without attachment, he is by the far superior. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Instead of becoming a pseudo transcendentalist for the sake of wanted living and sense enjoyment, it is a far better no remain in one's own business and execute the purpose of life, which is to get free from material bondage and enter into the knowledge of God. The prime swartha gati or goal of self-interest is to reach Vishnu. The whole instruction of Varna and Ashram is designed to help us reach the goal of life. A householder can also search the destination by the regulated service of Krishna consciousness. For self-realization, one can live a controlled life as prescribed in the Shastra and continue carrying out his business without attachment, and in that way make progress. A sincere person who follows this method is far better situated than the false pretender who adopts the so-bottled spiritualism to cheat the innocent public. A sincere sweeper in the street is far better than the charlatan meditator who meditate only for the sake of making a living.
Niyatam kuru karmatvam.
Niyatam kuru karmatvam.
Karma jayo hi akarmanaha.
Karma yo hi karmanaha.
Sharira yatra pi jate. Na prasiddheda karmanaha.
Na prasiddheda karmanaha.
Translation: perform your prescribed duty, for doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are many pseudo-meditators who misinterpret themselves as belonging to higher parentage and great professional men who falsely pose that they have sacrificed everything for the sake of advancement in spiritual life. Lord Krishna does not want Arjun to become a pretender. Rather, the Lord desired that Arjun perform his prescribed duties as set forth for Kshatriyas. Arjun was a householder and a military general, and therefore it was better for him to remain as such and perform his religious duties as prescribed for the householder Kshatriya. Such activities gradually cleanse the heart of a mundane man and free him from material contamination. So-called renunciation for the purpose of maintenance is never approved by the Lord nor by any religious scripture. After all, one has to maintain one's body and soul together by some work. Work should not be given up capriciously without purification of materialistic propensities. Anyone who is in the material world is certainly possessed of the impure propensity for lording it over material nature, or in other words, for sense gratification. Such polluted propensities have to be cleared. Without doing so, such prescribed duties, one should never attempt to become a so-called transcendentalist, renouncing work and living at the cost of others.
Hare Krishna. I'm very, very, very sorry to be coming in like this, because I was not supposed to be giving the class today, and somehow, because of the lack of speaker, I was asked to come, and so please forgive me for the stress, and I'm directly coming in from work. Probably it is Krishna showing my true nature, saying that I'm just a materialistic person. But so we were reading the third chapter. We can continue with the third chapter if that's okay, or do you want to? Because right now, usually the program is we start at 6 o'clock and we read Isopanishad. And because a good hour has already passed by, so I think we can just continue with the reading of what we are reading. Why interrupt that? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yajñārtha karmaṇo nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaḥ tadartham karma kaunteya mukta saṅgā samācara yajñārtha karmaṇo nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaḥ tadartham karma kaunteya mukta saṅgha samācara yajñārthāt, done for the sake of yajña or Vishnu. Karmanaha, than work. Anyatra, otherwise. Lokaha, world. Ayam, this. Karma bandhanaha, bondage by work. Tat, of him. Artham, for the sake. Karma, work. Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, Mukta Sangaha, liberated from association, Samachara, do perfectly. Kindly repeat after me. Work done as sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction. And in that way, you will always remain free from bondage. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Since one has to work even for the simple maintenance of the body, the prescribed duties for a particular social position and quality are so made that the purpose can be fulfilled. Yajna means Lord Vishnu, or sacrificial performances. All sacrificial performances are meant for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. The Vedas enjoin Yajna Vai Vishnuhu. In other words, the same purpose is served whether one performs prescribed yajnas or directly serves Lord Vishnu. Krishna consciousness is therefore the performance of yajna as it is prescribed in this verse. Varnashram institution also aims at satisfying Lord Vishnu. Varnashrama charvataha purushena para puman Vishnur aradhyate. Vishnu Puran 388. Therefore, one has to work for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Any other work done in this material world will be a cause of bondage, for both good and evil have their reactions, and any reactions bind the performer. Therefore, one has to work in Krishna consciousness to satisfy Krishna or Vishnu, and while performing such activities, one is in a liberated state, a stage. This is the great art of doing work, and in the beginning, this process requires very expert guidance. One should therefore act very diligently under the guidance of a devotee of Lord Krishna or under the direct instruction of Lord Krishna himself, under whom Arjuna had the opportunity to work. Nothing should be performed for sense gratification, but everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. This practice will not only save one from the reaction of work, but also gradually elevate to the transcendental loving service of the Lord, which alone can raise one to the kingdom of God. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhayascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparadhi Chakaschana Parihare Pilajame Kimbruve Purushottama Bhumau Skalita Padanam Bhumireva Valambanam Tvai Jata Paradanam Tvameva Sharanam Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Again, I would like to apologize for this dress because I'm directly coming from work and I was not supposed to be speaking today. But anyways. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are discussing the third chapter. In the first chapter, Arjuna expressed his unwillingness to fight and he said to the Lord that I don't want to fight this battle. In the second chapter, the first part, Krishna starts his instructions. In the first part, he describes the nature of soul. Because that understanding about nature of soul is the basis of spiritual life. Without that strong understanding, one cannot further advance or one cannot further understand about spiritual life. So till verse 30th, the Lord, second chapter verse 30, the Lord gives information about soul. Then after that, next few verses, the Lord says, he induces karma kanda. Because in the conditioned state of existence, nobody would like to work for free. They need some sort of return expectation. And that is the way the conditioned soul thinks. And the karma kanda portion of the Vedas are targeted towards such a mentality where they say you perform these sort of activities, then you get these sort of results. Then after that, the Lord talks to Arjuna in the second chapter about Nishkam Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. And Arjuna is confused. He said, you are talking very in an ambiguous fashion. Initially you say that intelligence is better than fruitive work. And then why are you pushing me to wage this horrible battle which I don't want to fight? So, Hare Krishna, you are talking to me in an ambiguous fashion. In the third chapter, the Lord starts explaining about karma yoga or the duties. And he mentions in this particular verse, third chapter, ninth verse, that the conditioned nature or the material world is such that you can't live without performing activities. No one can live without performing activities. Even it may be Lord Brahma or any other powerful living entity. One has to work or one has to maintain oneself. That is the nature of this existence. But it is such a pitiful condition that when you work in this world, you are bound up. You perform good activities, you get good results. You perform evil activities, the results are similarly very negative. And if you see around, this is what is happening. Some people are enjoying, some people are suffering. Why? Because of their past resultant reactions to their work. Nobody can say that I can escape my work or I can escape the reactions of my past work. A criminal may think I am very clever, I can perform a perfect crime, and then the law officials won't find me. I am set. But the fact of the matter is, one can dupe the authorities of law, but one cannot dupe the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is watching one's activities since time immemorial. Krishna says in the 10th chapter, Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhrit, that I have been the witness watching every of your activity. You may think I can cheat the world, but you cannot cheat me. I have been with you since time immemorial. You and I have been never separated. Under illusion, you think that you are independent, but actually you are not. This is the nature of the conditioned soul. And Krishna is watching each and every one since time immemorial, what sort of activities they are performing. And one gets the due reactions of their work. That is the way this world works. And this brings up an good question, a question which is subject to considerable debate. Why do good things, why do bad things happen to good people? And in the way this modern world is working, the opposite is also very appropriate. Why good things happen to bad people and why bad things happen to good people? Because we see people by the power of their muscle, by doing so many underhanded dealings and being cutthroat and ruthless, they are able to go ahead, even though they are by nature not the best of persons. And the opposite is also true. So, to answer the first question, that why do bad things happen to good people? Someone says, I'm being perfectly pious throughout my life. I haven't done any evil deed. I have not hurt anybody. I have not stolen from anybody. I have not cheated anybody. Why then? Why am I suffering so severely? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that since we are eternal spirit soul, we have performed so many activities for so many trillions of our lives in the past that we do not even know from which birth are we suffering or enjoying in this lifetime. One should understand also how karma acts. Because Rupa Goswami mentions in the Nectar of Devotion that it's not instantaneous, like instant coffee or instant noodles or something like that. You mix hot water, you get noodles. That doesn't work with karma. Once one performs one's activity, then it remains in an unmanifested state. And by the will of the Supreme Lord, it's manifested at an appropriate time. There is a cycle of sinful activities, according to Rupa Goswami. There is the seed, there is the desire to perform, there is the seed, there is kutam, there is bijam, then there is prarabdha and aprarabdha. Aprarabdha and prarabdha. That is the cycle in which it goes. And when one's reactions to one's past work manifest, that is prarabdha karma. And what is called destiny is nothing but your karma being manifest in this lifetime according to your previous sinful reactions. In this lifetime, we have a destiny. And there is good and there is bad that is going to come to us no matter what. No matter how hard we try to avoid bad things, they will still come upon us. No matter how hard we desire good things, so-called good things in this world, we still won't get it if it's not destined to us. People will say, this is terrible. What are you talking about? That means to say I have no fate, no free will. I'm just a puppet in the hands of fate. Why the hell should I work day in, day out if I know that what I'm due is something which I'm going to get? The answer to this is that while we cannot avoid the good or bad that's going to come to us, we have full free will to pursue our spiritual life. Therefore, the scriptures have said time and again that the human form of life is a very valuable gift from God. Extremely valuable. Rideham adyam sulabham sudurlabham. Bhagavatam says that this body which we have got is extremely rare. Why? Because in this body we can solve the problems of life. It is this body that awards us that facility to solve these problems, this temporary existence once for all. That's the great value. And when one gets the human form of life, instead of exerting our energies, let's face it, our human form of life, we have limited energies. We cannot do everything, everywhere, at all times. We can go only to this place at a certain time, and we cannot be in other place during that same time. It's impossible. So human form of life, we have limited energy. And when we use that energy in pursuit of just this bodily pleasures, then the human form of life is wasted. The Lord says further ahead in the same third chapter, evam pravartam chakram nanu vartayati yaha aghayur indriya rama mogam partha sajivati. Krishna gives us that there is this whole cycle of sacrifices he mentions. And he says that those who do not follow these Vedic sacrifices, they live their lives in vain. Why? Because sense gratification is something which any form of life can afford. Even the animals can afford sense gratification. Even the cows, the dogs, the insects, the birds and beasts, everybody can afford sense gratification. And everybody is getting their sense gratification according to their due. But in this rare human form of life, we can actually start exerting our energy in the direction of understanding our spiritual life. Who am I? Where am I coming from? What's my destiny? These are the questions which can be asked only in the human form of life. And unless one comes to the spiritual knowledge, one doesn't even know what's happening. Why these bad things are happening to me? Krishna says you are a spirit soul. You have been here for since millions of births and you are accruing your reactions as they come. It's simple. And you will keep on in the millions of lifetimes to come, you will keep on accruing. In this modern world, we have this philosophy, somehow or other, if I can enjoy this life, and you know, live the life to fullest, then I'm done. I don't have to worry about next life. But Krishna says, no. Again you will get another body. Again and again you will get another body. And again you will be in this material world. That's the nature. Otherwise, how can one explain one is born in a wealthy family and somebody is born in utter poverty, not even having any food to eat? And it's a fact of life. We can see it. Is God cruel? No. under the nature of one's karma, one is getting the body. But in this form of life, when we perform activities for our spiritual advancement, those sort of activities do not carry any particular reactions. That is the nature. Otherwise, when one does activities for one's own gratification, then one is incurring oneself in the law of karma. Just like a prisoner. Nobody wants a prisoner to commit a crime. Yet prisoner out of his own, or a criminal out of his own free will, performs some sort of unlawful activity and gets implicated into a prison. Similarly, our lack of understanding that we are the spirit soul, we are in this material world and somehow or other trying to be happy, but not knowing what lies ahead. Who are we and what lies ahead? And how is the cycle of birth and death going on and on and on? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the using this excuse to instruct Arjuna, has spoken this beautiful Bhagavad Gita for the whole of mankind to solve their problems once for all. So this human form of life, where we have some sort of energy, has to be exerted as much as we can into understanding the spiritual life. The bodily functions and the bodily obligations, they remain. And unless one is mature in spiritual life, one cannot abruptly give up. But at the same time, while performing our material duties, one can never ever forget the sight of fact that the spiritual advancement or attaining Krishna is my ultimate goal. That is the whole purpose or theme which the Lord is trying to push. So that the conditioned soul can start awakening from his sleeping state that I am this body, I am the spirit soul, everything around is mine and I am happy. No. Because Krishna says that if you don't perform activities for spiritual advancement, you are completely being bound up by this material world, by the laws of karma. And those are law of karma is extremely strong. Nobody can overcome it. Krishna says, Daivi esha gunamai mama maya duratya mame vaya prapadyante maya metam tarantite. He says in the 7th chapter, 14th verse, that this material nature of mine is extremely strong. Nobody can overcome it on my own. It's impossible. Try it. It's impossible without the help of Lord. Then how? Then the next question will come is, if I am carrying such a severe and such a long list of karma on my back, what can I do to avoid that? Is there any way to overcome my own karmic reactions which have been accruing since time immemorial, or is it something which I keep continuing? Srila Prabhupada says that Bhagavad Gita talks about 5 topics. Can anybody tell those 5 topics? 5 topics which are discussed in Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, about the living entity, God, Prakruti, Kal, which is time, and activity.
Karma, thank you. So out of these 5 activities, Jiva, or living entity, God, and time, they cannot be changed. They cannot be changed. Because they are what they are, and it's not subject to change. What is subject to change is 2 things: prakriti and karma, your own reactions. And Krishna says in Brahma Samhita that yastvindra gopa mathavendra mahosva karma bandhanu rupa phalabhajana matanoti karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam govindamadi purushantam aham. Krishna says Brahma says that since time immemorial, you have been giving the fruits of one's reactions to Indra, who is the king of heaven, down to Indragopa, which is a germ. It's just a tiny, insignificant germ. Everybody has been getting their due reactions since time immemorial by the will of the Lord. But those who serve Krishna with faith and with devotion, Krishna completely burns up their sinful reactions. This is the secret of burning up our karma. Otherwise, there is no way. One's own will, one cannot burn up karma. Just like a fish which is trapped in a net cannot free by itself. A tiny fish which is trapped in an extremely large and powerful net, it cannot free itself. It's impossible. Similarly, the jiva soul, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his famous song, Arkeno Maya Jale, there is a song written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says that, I am just like a fish who's trapped in that net. And oh my Lord, please pull me out of it. There's no way around it. Our devotional services are just geared towards this surrender, simple surrender, that my Lord, I have given this up. There is no way I can on my own manage this vast ocean which is around me, which is surrounding me. I just give up. I just surrender onto your lotus feet. And the Lord, being extremely kind, will give shelter to that spirit soul and help that spirit soul in advancing, very quickly coming to Him. Srila Prabhupada says that the Lord is more eager for the devotee to come to Him than we care to go back to Godhead. Krishna is eager, and it is there in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. When Gopakumar goes to Vaikuntha planet, Vishnu is extremely pleased. He says, my dear Gopakumar, please come. I am so happy to see you. After such a long time we are meeting. Birth after birth, I have been waiting that you will come back to me. I thought maybe this birth, this child will look upon me. Maybe this birth, this child will surrender unto me. This shows that Lord Vishnu is so eager, so kind and so like lovingly wanting his devotees to come back to him. We like, okay Lord, I'll come. Probably, you know, I have some stuff to take care of. I'll just do stuff. Probably next life come. Oh, but you know what? I have family here. Probably next life. No, I'm a minister. I'm a big king right now. You know, so much of responsibility. Next life. I'm a demigod. Next life. I'm an insect. Lord! That's how it goes. So, material opulence is, that's a whole topic about how material opulence can hinder one's devotional service. But Krishna is so kind that he is eager, he's waiting, he's thirsting life after life that when will this child come back to me? Long ago he has forgotten me, he has given me up, he has given up my service. And he has fallen into this material world, thinking himself to be the Lord and Master. And now he's rotting, birth after birth. Every millennium, the Lord says in the fourth chapter, every millennium I go and teach. Why? Because of his extreme compassion. Lord doesn't have to appear in this world. He has no need. He is fully competent to send his devotees to preach. Or he doesn't even have to care about this world. And Krishna says, if I don't perform my duty and care about this entire world will be put to ruination. Why? Because there will be no morality, there will be no religion. Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. In the fourth chapter, when Krishna explains why I come to this material world, Srila Prabhupada explains that the law of dharma is established by the Lord Himself. Nobody can manufacture. As it is so popular, all right, you can do this sort of religion, all right, that's up to you. Oh, you want to change this, that's fine. Oh, this is what, it doesn't work that way. Some people think it's too rigid, it's too harsh, what are you talking about? What about my own free expression on how to live my spiritual life? But really, that sort of free expression of spiritual life is not spiritual life, it's just a bodily mental concoction, that's all. And that's not going to give you results. It's simple common sense. You go to the college and then the college people say, you know what, you have to do these many credits, you have to pass these many exams, you have to go through these classes. You go and say, who are you to tell me what I should do? I'll do whatever I want to do. All right, you'll be out of college in no time. It's a simple logic that a simple material education or a material degree requires so much of discipline, so much of adherence to authorities. What about our own spiritual life, which is the most extremely important thing? And why would one say that anything is fine, I'll advance in spiritual life? No, Krishna says that here is there. These are my words, follow it, you will achieve me. it's a common thing to say that any path is fine. No, it does not fine. Therefore, there comes the question of rigidity. It's not rigid because we are fanatics. It's because, yes, this is the way it is, been for many years, and then this is the way it is. How dare you do this? No, it's not like that. This is what is Lord saying. This is what Srila Prabhupada gave us, and this is what we are trying to follow here. Because Prabhupada gave us the perfect path, and unless we follow the instructions of the Lord and His devotees, we cannot really make tangible spiritual progress and burn up our karma. Yajñārtha karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandhana, the Lord says in this verse, which means, Srila Prabhupada also says in the purport that it needs careful guidance of a spiritual master. After reading this verse, one may still, because mind is, this is the nature of mind, this is one point I wanted to talk, is how mind can be so devious. It says, all right, you are doing what you are doing, that's fine, you know, you're going ahead. No, mind is very devious. After hearing this verse, one may say, yeah, well, you know what, I'm doing in my wicked ways, that's okay, I'll just offer it to Krishna, you know. I keep robbing, I keep doing all sorts of nonsense, I'll give it to Krishna, you know. That way I'm free, I can do my nefarious activities here, but somehow I can, you know, offer it to Krishna. This is the way mind thinks. Because why? Mind is so conditioned to act the way it acts. It's very strongly under the modes of material nature. It pushes, and the devious intelligence says, I'll keep doing my nefarious activities, I'll offer the results to God. I'll take, you know, and then, you know, He will accept it. You know, He won't. It's like, I know I'm doing wrong, let God take responsibility for my actions. He says, anyways, you know, push it to God. It doesn't work that way. Which requires a careful guidance of a spiritual master who studies you, or and who says, you know what, this is the way you should do it to actually advance in spiritual life. Then comes the next question. How do I know I am advancing in spiritual life? You are saying all these things. Very nice. You are sitting here and giving me a nice lecture. But how do I know? What's in for me? How do I know that I am advancing in spiritual life? Is there any question on why we need to advance in spiritual life? Is there anybody who has still doubts? No, I'm preaching to the choir here. So there is a need, because we cannot stay in this world. This world, Krishna says, is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. It's not like I am happy in this world. No, you will be kicked. You will be kicked by the laws of nature. You will be kicked. Ultimately, you will be kicked out by death. There is guaranteed, no question about it. So that is an impetus for us to advance in spiritual life. The next question comes is, you are saying all these wonderful things. How do I know that I am advancing in spiritual life? Is that some sort of mental hodgepodge? I feel like something light up in the air, and you know, anybody says anything to me, I just don't care. I'm in the world of my own. I give up my home and heart and become a homeless man and just be... What are you talking about? So the Lord says here in the fourth chapter, let's read that particular verse. Let's do the famous verse, the fourth chapter, 34th verse, which is on page 232 in the Bhagavad Gita. Last. Tadviddi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastatva darshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. The next verse says, Yajñātvā punar moham evam yasyāsi pāṇḍava yena bhūtāne seśāni drakṣāsi ātmā atho mayi. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living entities are but part of Supreme, or in other words, they are mine. Then, these two verses, the Lord says that, you know, what's the importance of approaching spiritual master, and then what happens when one obtains knowledge from a spiritual master. Then the 36th verse is, Apiched asi papebhya sarvebhya papa krittama sarva jnanam plave naiva vrijanam santirishyati. Even if you are situated to be the most, even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are able, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. Here, the same point comes up, is that when the Lord says you are a sinner, that means to say you have been committing sinful activities and you have piled up huge amount of karma. But when you take up to spiritual life, then all this spiritual knowledge is so pure that it will destroy your sinful activities. Text 37. Yatha idamsi samidhognir bhasmasat kurute arjuna jnanagni sarva karmani bhasmasat kurute tatha. As the blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all the reactions of material activities. Text 38. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat swayam yoga samsiddha kalenatma nivindati. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism and one who is accomplished in the practice of devotional service. The word is enjoys this knowledge within himself in the due course of time. So the point is that this knowledge, when we take to spiritual life and when we are advancing, nobody has to give us a certificate. We get that feeling of utter satisfaction and bliss that we are on the right path. That is the spiritual life. So the question which comes up is that how do I know I am advancing in spiritual life? Also Bhagavatam says that when we take up to devotional service, then automatically that's okay. Okay. Mataji says that's okay. We'll say later or not. Amadagar po beta. So when we advance in spiritual life, automatically we feel that we are progressing. And the other important thing Srila Prabhupada says, that when one is advancing in spiritual life, then the material happiness seems tasteless. One gets a little bit detached from material world. You feel that automatically when a conditioned man, for example, sees a beautiful woman, automatically his lusty desires are aroused. But in the spiritual life, the same thing, one doesn't feel that desires arising. In the initial stages, one may still have that desires arising, but one is able to control and suppress those desires by superior intelligence. And when one really advances in spiritual life, one feels those sorts of desires are detestable. That is the, you can say, benchmark for one who is advancing in spiritual life. Initially, there will be struggle because we are all conditioned souls. Since time immemorial, we can't even trace out what time. We have been in this material world enjoying the same things over and over and over again. So our conditioned state is such that, you know, our whole senses and intelligence and mind are strongly drawing us to enjoy our senses. And when we take up to this path of spiritual life, it seems actually impossible and a struggle in the beginning. But rest assured, if we continue with faith in the association of devotees and chant the holy names, 100% guaranteed that one's dirt in the heart slowly but surely gets destroyed and one makes definite, rapid and tangible progress in spiritual life. No doubt about it. That's Krishna's promise. Because this conditioned life is thrust upon us by material energy, but material energy is but servant of Krishna. Maya dhyakshina prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagad viparivartate. Just like if you have trouble at local DMV and they are harassing you, if president writes a letter, who at DMV can stop or can oppose? Similarly, this material nature, which is subjecting the conditioned soul to threefold miseries of material existence, is but mere servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when one takes shelter onto that lotus feet, what can this material energy do? This material energy is vast. It's tremendous. It's limitless. But it's said in the Bhagavatam, Samashritaye Padapallava Plavam. Let's take that verse. It's a beautiful verse to meditate on. That's 10th canto. Let's open the shloka book. 10th canto, 14th chapter. That's on page 257. Samashritaye padapallava plavam mahat padam punyayasho murare bhavam bhudirvatsa padam param padam 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 yadvipadam natesham. For those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, the enemy of Mura demon, the ocean of material world is like the water contained in the calf's hoofprint. Their goal is Parampadam Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not that place where there is danger at every step. Such a nice verse from Bhagavatam. So if we take shelter of Krishna, yes, Rakshit Prabhu.
One question that would come up when one takes on to spiritual life is whether there could come about too much of spiritual activity that one could get burnt in spiritual life just as one gets burnt in material life. That could occur. For example, service. One takes on service and that service can get to be too much.
Mm.
It's service to Krishna. It's spiritual life. So, the question then that comes up is, what are the controls that need to operate? Because one could even burn out in spiritual activity.
Nice point. Actually, very good question. Actually, we did see a lot of devotees undergoing that. The first and foremost principle in spiritual life are our service to Krishna. Is that it is voluntary. The devotee should always think that is something which I am doing it on my own, for my own purification. Now, based on different environments, different temples, different communities, there may be a need to do more or less service, but at the end of the day, it is up to the devotee to choose what is the right balance. Now, if one were full-time or fully devoted to the spiritual life or being in temple, even then also, one has to have a balance of the service we can do versus other obligations we need to take care. Because otherwise, what would happen is we feel that we are being pushed or we feel that we are being asked to do and we feel we are helpless to do it. That sort of resentment builds within, but sooner or later, it's going to have a negative effect on spiritual life. Our focus should be clear. I am here to obtain pure love of Krishna and this is something which is a lifetime of activity. It's not just going to happen. If I do service for next 1 year, I'll be done. I can go on vacation. No, it's not going to happen that. The reality of spiritual life is that it's an everyday process. And we have to make a balanced decision on how much can we do, how much versus how much we cannot do. If one feels that, oh, if I can't do it, and then the temple will suffer. If that sort of duty attitude can go on only for some time. I mean, if the temple does suffer because of one's not having service, Krishna will arrange to see somebody else will come and take and do service. It's not that I, because of my service, am sustaining this whole temple. Otherwise the temple will just collapse into pieces. Actually, the Lord is there in the temple. He is arranging for things. In the short term, because of certain devotees leaving or certain devotees having too much of other work and giving up some of their services, it may suffer in the short term, but again, if the Lord desires, it will continue. The fact that thinking that I am supposed to be the doer, now that you asked this question, today was supposed to be a day where I was not supposed to come to the class. I was at work. And when Malini called up and said, you know what, there is nobody in temple, you have to come, I was torn. I was not having any dhoti, and B, I was right in the middle of a lot of work. I was torn, and initially, like, I thought, maybe it's not a good idea to go. This is voluntary. I can choose to go, I can choose not to go. And it's up to me. So initially I said, probably I may not be able to make it. And then later, it was a sense of obligation. Probably I thought I should go because, you know, the devotees may not find anybody for a speaker. And I prayed to the Lord, what should I do? And somehow the work got resolved right then, and then I had a chance to come back. So it's hard to tell. But the bottom line is this. Our service is voluntary, and we are here for a lifetime of spiritual activity. If my services cause, for example, how would you do, Rakshit Prabhu? If my services are causing me not to chant Hare Krishna, what would I do first? I'm having too much services, I can't chant my rounds. And that... Pardon?
First things first.
Exactly. Yes,
priority.
Priority. We just prioritize our services. And if need be, we talk to the authorities in the temple or somebody whom a temple president or authority saying that, you know, this is what we can do, these are the practical problems. And usually, if the at least in our temple, Vaisheshika Prabhu is the first person to kind of say, probably you shouldn't do it because if it is causing too much of anxiety and you are not able to chant your rounds. So we have priorities and we have a balance. As ISKCON moves more from the full-time devotee-based temples to congregations like this where we have to work outside, probably that sort of questions will be more into sharper focus on how much can we have to balance everything. But you know what's the sweetness? With all this, Krishna is helping us. Krishna is helping us to make decisions. He's saying, I'm right behind you, don't worry. Arjuna had the same dilemma. You know what, I should fight or shouldn't fight? You know, if I fight and I win, then I won't enjoy this kingdom. And if I'm killed in the battle, then you know what? That's not a nice situation either. So what should I do? Krishna was there. So three things came out of this. One thing is that the first thing is that it's voluntary and it's a lifetime of activity. The second thing is we prioritize our things. And third thing is we seek help of Krishna. And that's not to be forgotten. Otherwise, it's definitely going to be burnt out. Because when one really enjoys devotional service, when one has reached to an advanced state that one enjoys devotional service, then the activities of devotional service are no more a burden. They are no more an element of sadhana or an exertion. They really become like, I can't live without it. I just have to do that. It's my life and soul. Yes, Prabhuji.
I would feel like I must add something to this.
Please.
Because it sounds kind of negative, you know, like person being burned because he is responsible and he cannot really just reject what he was doing, you know, all the time, and everybody got used to it. He is supposed to do this and he is responsible person. So this is dilemma, you know, and in this case person would feel like, okay, I'm going to take right now. And then next time come again, He said, okay, I'm going to do this again. Because he is responsible. And it sounds kind of negative, because at the same time person wouldn't do it because of his voluntarily and his test for this service, but he would do it because he is a responsible person. And the positive things, what I feel the mature devotee would have to do, he would have to see that if Krishna puts on his shoulders bigger responsibility than he is able to take, that's the sign that it's the time for these devotees to share his devotional service. Because there is devotees around him who is not really doing the service. And they just don't know how to do this. They don't know how to approach. They don't know how to start. And that's the time for these devotees to start to share his responsibility, to start to teach other people how to take responsibility. And this is very important stage. As soon as person really get to the stage that too much service, that means he is already kind of like, you know, ready to share. And this is very important. It's a very positive thing.
Nice. Thank you. Right. That if Krishna is giving this person so much service, knowing that it's already at a saturable level, then that would imply that Krishna wants him to make more devotees, to share and teach others. It's not the person's own decision then that he's sharing Krishna, because the other consequence would be that the person could burn out if he doesn't share. So the guidance also must come from Krishna that he should share and make other devotees.
Yeah, but the thing is this, one has to be careful in delegating. When one gets a lot of service, then what happens is one goes about in a very like... and has to be very thoughtful about delegating the service, because other devotees are already doing some other service. And it's a maturity that has to come into play before one delegates. So in a temple which has fewer devotees, the temple is expanding and more devotees are joining, your situation is perfectly ideal. But if the temple devotees are not expanding, then there has to be a balance on how things can be done versus, you know, if the existing devotees already are taking on a lot of services. So it's a balance. But it's a very valid point, very nice point. And your point also was very nice in conjunction with that. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Should we read one more verse? Or what do we want to do?
I think there was a offering also.
So should we do it now before Aarti?
It would be before Aarti, but any time.
It will take 5 minutes, right? So I think we still have some 5 to 7 minutes. Yeah. You had a point, Mataji? So probably we'll do one more verse and purport and then, you know, discuss 3:10. Yeah, chapter 3, 10th verse, page 155. Sahai yajna praja srishtva purovacha prajapatihi anena prashavishyadvam eshavostva ishtat kamadhuk. In the beginning of the creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna, sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The material creation by the Lord of creatures, Vishnu, is a chance offered to the conditioned souls to come back home, back to Godhead. All the living entities within the material creation are conditioned by material nature because of their forgetfulness of relationship to Vishnu or Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedic principles are here to help us understand this eternal relation as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Sarve Rahameva Vedyaha. The Lord says that the purpose of Vedas is to understand Him. In the Vedic hymns it is said, Patim Vishaya Patim Vishvasayatmeshwaram. Therefore the Lord of the living entities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.20, Srila Sukadeva Goswami describes the Lord as Pati in so many ways. Shriyapatir, Yajnapatir, Prajapatir, Dhiyampatir, Lokapatir, Dharapatihi, Patir Gatis, Chandaka, Vrishni, Satvatam, Prasidatam, Me, Bhagavan, Satampatihi. The Prajapati is Lord Vishnu, and He is the Lord of all living entities, all worlds and all beauties, and the protector of everyone. The Lord created this material world to enable the conditioned souls to learn how to perform yajñas, sacrifices for the satisfaction of Vishnu, so that while in the material world they can live comfortably without anxiety, and after finishing the present material body, they can enter into kingdom of God. That is the whole program for the conditioned soul. By performance of yajña, the conditioned soul becomes Krishna conscious and becomes godly in all respect. In the age of Kali, the Sankirtan yajña, chanting of the names of God, is recommended by Vedic scriptures. And this transcendental system was introduced by Lord Chaitanya for deliverance of all men of this age. Sankirtan Yajna and Krishna consciousness go together. Lord Krishna in his devotional form as Lord Chaitanya is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32 as follows, with special reference to Sankirtan Yajna. Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yajna Sankirtanai Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasaha. In this age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord, who is accompanied by His associates by performance of Sankirtan Yajna. Other yajnas prescribed in Vedic literatures are not easy to perform in this age of Kali, but Sankirtan Yajna is easy and sublime for all purposes, as recommended in Bhagavad Gita. So this is the special nature of chanting the holy names in Kali Yuga, that one performs yajna, Sankirtan yajna, because the holy name gives liberation. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kaler dosha nide rajan astihi eko mahan guna Kirtana eva krishnasya mukta sanga param brajet. Mukta sanga param brajet is when it gives mukti or liberation. Then one might ask this question, if holy names gives liberation, where is this prema thing coming from? We chant the names of God, we get prema, love of Godhead. But in scriptures it is said that you chant the names of God, you get liberation. So it is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he wove a wreath. He wove a wreath of nama and prema. So when we surrender onto the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and when we chant Prema Nama. Yei chai dware achandale kirtana sanchare nama prema mala ganti parailo sabare. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wove a wreath of name and prema together and he threw upon this world. And that is the supreme benediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one attains love of Godhead. That is the simple process. So, that is the supreme potency of chanting the holy names in the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sandhya Mataji asked, Shraddha Devi Mataji asked one question about five yajnas. So in this material world, can anybody say that, you know, I don't want to eat or I can live without eating? It's impossible. And to eat, you have to do certain activities. A householder especially has to do certain activities. A householder, for example, you put spices. Previously there was a mortar to grind spices. Now you have blenders and other things. Even in blenders, when you put spices, you kill living entities. So you boil water, you broom or you sweep the floor, you kill living entities. And there are five types of sins a householder incurs. That is by boiling, by beating, that is by boiling water, by broom, grinding spices. And to counteract these five types of sinful reactions, it is mentioned in the scriptures that one has to perform five kinds of sacrifices or pancha yajna. The five kinds of sacrifices are worshipping demigods, then offering oblations to forefathers, feeding all the living entities, and feeding the brahmanas and all the living entities. And then one has to study Vedas. And feeding forefathers and feeding other living entities. So these are the five kinds of sacrifices one performs. One has to perform according to scriptures to atone for the sinful activities which a householder performs. But of course, in this age of Kali Yuga, if one need not perform any Panchamahayajna, one has to just chant Hare Krishna, and one automatically is liberated. So that was the question Mataji asked. Thank you so much. Any other questions? Any other final comment? I think we have just about 2-3 minutes. Just one more question. If not, then the voice of ISV will rise. Thank you so much. And please forgive me for this dress again. Forgive me for any mistakes and any offenses I caused. Hare Krishna.
So we are going to do an offering right now of the results of the last monthly Sankirtan festival. So after we put the books away, what we are going to do is gather right in front of Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan here and read the offering. You know, Kirtan can follow right away after that. Are you going to lead or the Kirtan? Okay. We should inform her then. Hare Krishna. Are you going to do the Kirtan today? Pardon me? Aarti. Oh, so you're going to sing today? Oh, acha. Okay, all right, because it should follow as soon as I'm done. Hari Bol Prabhu, you're going to do the Kirtan, right?
If you wish.
Yeah, that's fine. As soon as I'm done, it follows. Hare Krishna. If you are done putting away the books, let's gather around Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan here as we read the offering of the results from the monthly Sankirtan festival of steady improvements. So we are gathered here today to make this offering of the results from the monthly Sankirtan festival of steady improvements, the MSF of steady improvements, that was held last weekend, April 16th through 18th, here in the South Bay. The goals of this MSF were to distribute at least 1,200 books and to make at least 5 steady improvements in temple operations and instructional courses. We are pleased to report that due to the hard work of ISV devotees, these goals have been met. We hereby make this offering of the 5 steady improvements that were implemented by Team ISV. ISV devotees establish the patron system of donation records, which is now up and running. They implemented a dashboard to display temple finances, names of monthly donors, and other newsworthy items. Also, ISV devotees drafted and designed the contents for a Sankirtan course here at ISV. They also started on the design of an introductory course for newcomers at ISV. And finally, they designed fridge magnets containing temple contact information for devotees. In addition, devotees participated in a Harinam performance in Palo Alto,
last Friday, April 16th, and a massive book distribution throughout South Bay last weekend, Saturday and Sunday. They also dispatch several hundred Bhagavad Gitas to motels all across the USA. And they mailed 290 thank you letters along with calendars to all our contributors who are on the ISV mailing list. So we hereby also make this offering of the final scores from book distribution. In all, 30 devotees participated in book distribution. They distributed 2,096 books. And they collected $1,246 in Lakshmi points, including donations. Among other contributions, the ISV Motel Gita program received a gift from the Los Angeles BBT of $20,000, which was deposited in Motel Gita's BBT account in LA. And this is towards the purchase of 10,000 Bhagavad Gitas for placement in motels. We hope that the lordships are pleased with these results from the MSF of Steady Improvements. With the conclusion of this MSF, ISV now completes 5 years of the official monthly Sankirtan Festival program, which was inaugurated in April 2005. We'd like to thank all devotees who participated in this MSF and all donors who contributed also to this MSF. MSF of Steady Improvements Ki. Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ji Ki. Sriman Mahaprabhu Ki. Shri Shri Lakshmi Narsimha Dev Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gaur Premanandi.